live at AsylumFantasySports.com. Rick, it's the Inside Slant.
Welcome. We're Fligger and Briggs to week number, what is it, seven now?
Six, eight, six, 11.
I don't know.
All
too many.
Together.
Too many. Six, eight, ten. I don't know. Honest to God, I don't know. It's terrible.
I got too many injuries this week. I don't care. I'm checked out. So.
No, week six of the NFL, I mean, October 9th. Well, the Thursday game already in the books. Boy, I tell you what, I thought that was going to be a blowout, and it turned out to be a pretty good game. 33-28, Indianapolis held off Houston. And I tell you what, I tweeted about it earlier in the week. You know, it's one thing, you know, we talked about DeAndre Hopkins being a decent fantasy start in that matchup.
Right.
Didn't do anything. You know, we were, okay, we'll admit that was a bad call there. But to watch him... basically, with the game in the balance, Andre Johnson had that fumble.
Right.
You know, shame on him, but things like that happened. He stood there and watched the ball.
He did.
Absolutely nothing while the Colts were jumping all over it.
Just hanging out.
And then turns around and says, and I think I'm quoting it right, there's 60 minutes or an hour in a game. It's hard to blame the outcome on 5 seconds.
Yeah, he's got to sit down for a while. I mean, so basically saying in a 60-minute game, you should be able to take some plays off because it's such a long game. I don't know if I agree with that. Hey, call in 646-478-4679. We'll answer your lineup questions. You can send them in on Twitter, at Asylum Football, if you're not in the chat room. And if you're not, I don't know why you're not. That doesn't make any sense to me. So, Rick, let's start it out. Let's hit a few headlines before the questions start coming in. Our buddy Scott Fish will join us in the 11 o'clock hour.
Well, we have to hit a question here before
all right,
we get
here
started.
We go.
We need a bye week quarterback. And this was interesting. I had it on Twitter here a little while ago. Andy Dalton, Carson Palmer, Austin Davis, Joe Flacco, Ryan Tannehill, and Brian Hoyer.
Boy, that's tough. And if I rank them without their matchups, I think is what I'm trying to say, I would stack them much differently. On that list, based on matchups, Rick, I think it's Brian Hoyer. I think he's going to go out there. He's had some success against the Steelers. That Steelers defense is bad. That Browns team's better than you think. They're better than their record. That's a game team right there. Not a ton of weapons around him. For me, I think it's Brian Hoyer. I love Austin Davis and what he's done, but he's not going to do that on a Monday night against San Francisco. Andy Dalton's down two receivers now. Looks like A.J. Green's going to be out. You know, it's all Muhammad Sanu. You know, Tannehill's been a real letdown. Hoyer's the only one on that list with a decent matchup. I think he goes out, and I don't think he goes crazy, but 275, two touchdowns. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility for Brian Hoyer. And the Steelers don't turn you over, so you're not going to have to worry about him having some big turnover fest out there.
Yeah, I mean, to a point, I agree with you. I would gamble on the hot hand, Austin Davis, myself. I mean, I think this kid's got it, and him and Brian Quick have it going together. And, you know, you can move the ball on San Francisco. It's been proven. St. Louis is at home. They play them tough. I'm looking I would think I would go with Davis, but then in order, as I tweeted, I have you. I have Hoyer next. Then I have Dalton. I mean, I just don't trust Tannehill or Flacco.
Right, no.
And, you know, Miami going into a real tough game. And, you know, Flacco, you know, I'm not wacko for Flacco. So, yeah, I mean, they're playing Green Bay. I'm talking Miami. They're at home. But I can't have him. You can interchange him or Flacco.
Right.
But to me, they're the bottom two.
Right. Here's my issue with Austin Davis. It's been going so well for him. He's just rolling. He's on a heater. And you mentioned it. He's the hot hand right now. At some point, a rookie quarterback, at many points, has that rookie quarterback moment. I think the spotlight of Monday night against that San Francisco defense is where I would have the most fear that would happen. He ain't going out there and throwing 347 and three touches again like he did last week. And you're not going to do that every week, of course. But that's where he makes me nervous. If he's going to revert back to the mean a little bit, this is going to be the week it happens.
Well, it could be. But I think in a bye week, I don't know, I think I'd gamble with a hot hand. And here's Mr. Conservative,
right?
Saying,
yeah,
gambling with a hot hand,
shoving
here.
All in on Austin Davis of all people. Yeah. All right, Rick. Well, let's get to the phone lines. I think I recognize this number, Jersey. Good morning. Welcome back to Sunday.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you guys doing? Hey, couple quick questions, Junior. I can't remember if I asked this before or not. He's down by 41 points because Foster went off this past week. You know, he was playing against him. His question is, he already played Bradshaw. He has basically Storm Johnson that he could use or Darren Sproles. Now, it is a PPR league. It is 10-point rushing touchdown. It is a point for every 10 yards receiving or rushing. If you get 100 yards passing or rushing, another 5 bonus points. Does he stay with Sproles, knowing that the Giants haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher yet this year? Does he take a chance with Storm Johnson, who would be the starter with Toby Gerhardt out? What do you like, since he's got to make up some point differences there? What do you guys like?
Well, boy, I'll be honest with you, Jersey, what I like isn't really either one of them.
No.
But, yeah, you know, I mean, I love Darren Sproles, don't get me wrong. I don't like guys that aren't starters. And as bad as Jacksonville has been, you know, I'm almost tempted to go with Storm Johnson, but Darren Sproles is so dynamic. I think you're safer with Sproles. And, you know, you've heard us talking. You know, we like the volume of work usually over the upside. But I just don't really realize what's going on with Jacksonville, quite frankly. And, I mean, everyone thought Gerhardt was going to come in and just through the volume of work, he was going to be a legitimate low-end RB2 or a flex spot. He hasn't even, you know, held up to that bit yet. I haven't seen enough of Storm Johnson to gamble, especially when I'm down, you know, with Arian Foster putting up 33 points. I think I'm going to have to go with the higher end with me, with Darren Sproles. Rick, I don't know. What do you think? It's a tough question.
If we were starting even, I think I'd recommend Storm Johnson. I think here's his chance. We'll find out who this kid is. This is his chance to take this job. He's going to get all the carries today. But you saw with Toby Gerhardt, and he did nothing with him. I actually think this kid has a shot. But if I got 40 to make up, Darren Sproles is the kind of guy that can do it. It's a coin flip whether or not he does. But in a PPR format, he goes out there and busts one of those for 80 yards. If I've got points to make up in that scenario, I think I got to go Darren Sproles. But it's about 60-40 for me. That's a tough call, but play it safe, I guess, although I don't know how safe. Play it safe and go with their rules.
I'll let them know that. And my other, like I said, in the same league, Junior Lineman, I'm 5-0. I usually go with Cutler, and I have Cutler starting anyhow. But I also have Al Smith on my bench. He's on a bye. Now, Carson Palmer is available. What I really need Al Smith for, or Carson Palmer, is week 9. Now, Smith does go against the Jets in Kansas City. I don't know who Carson Palmer is playing against in week 9. Do I still keep Alex Smith for that week 9 thing? Because usually, like I said, I do play Cutler. We don't know what Palmer's going to do with the nerve problem. Any suggestions on, do I just stay put? Do I drop Smith for Palmer, or do I just hold on to what I got? I'm jumping ahead.
Yeah, you are jumping ahead, and here's the thing. In that scenario, obviously, I like Carson Palmer way better than Alex Smith. Alex Smith's going to be home with the Jets. Arizona is traveling, but they're only traveling to Dallas, and I could see that getting a little more wide open. But what you have to bear in mind is you have to monitor Carson Palmer. He comes back in that shoulder of a bum, and all of a sudden they put Drew Stanton back in, then you're screwed because you dropped your backup quarterback. I don't know. I mean, it's almost like, you know, I don't know who all would be available if you happen to drop Smith, pick up Palmer, and then find out later that you have to pick somebody else up. I don't know how.
Not much. I mean, you got guys like Orton. Maybe you got guys like quarterback. Buffalo's quarterback, which is Orton.
Yeah, that's Kyle Orton, yeah.
I think Houston's quarterback and Fitzpatrick. So it's really not a lot to choose from. And like you said, I do have him in my other league as my backup to Brady, Carson Palmer, because it really isn't. I mean, Alex Smith isn't there. So the bottom line is, I wasn't sure, do I, you know, take a gamble? It's basically a one-week thing. As long as Cutler stays healthy, he's my guy all year, except for his bye, and that's where I figure, all right, let me grab I actually had Carson Palmer, and I dropped him, and then I picked up Smith, figuring, hey, I need somebody, because who knows if Carson Palmer's going to come back. So that's why I figured, let me ask you guys what you thought.
Here's what you could do. If you wanted to pick up Palmer,
right,
something happens to your shoulder, pick up Stanton if you can.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? At least you have something if you're looking for the Arizona-type thing. Because Alex Smith is going to give you Alex Smith numbers just about every week. You know, he's not going to kill your team, but he's certainly not going to win you a game.
And here's what I know with Carson Palmer. There's a guy sitting around for the last month waiting for his shoulder to wake back up, which was the terminology they used. I'm not trusting him forward. So if you think you could get Stanton, maybe you roll there. But I think Stanton and Smith's a wash. For me, Rick, I just stand pat here. It's one
That's
week.
True.
Alex Smith. Look, the Jets are bad. You can score on the Jets. Yeah, again, Alex Smith's going to give you 220. You hope he gets you a touchdown. You know what you're going to get. And you hope for the best around. But, boy, I can't trust Carson Palmer. It may be fine. Nerve issues are nothing to mess with, though.
No, and you figure you're going to have to pass against the Jets, ain't that? Because up until last week. But usually they're pretty tough against the run. They're a real suspect with the pass, so that's why I figure, maybe he has a one-week wonder. Maybe Smith will actually do it. So I'll step back for a while because, like you said, you got to see, like this week, maybe week seven, what Palmer's about if he is playing, you know what I mean? Then you know.
Exactly.
If he happens to be there, great. But, like you said, don't overthink things. All right, guys, I appreciate it very much. Best of luck to you guys again this week, and look forward to chatting with you next Sunday. And thanks for your voice, and enjoy your day. Appreciate it.
All right,
thanks,
Jersey.
Good luck.
Jersey, good luck this week.
All right, Rick, let's head to the chat room here. We need one quarterback, one running back, and one wide receiver from these in standard league, non-PPR. Brady or Romo, Gore or Morris, Calvin Benjamin, Sanders, White, or Steve Smith?
Benjamin, give me those receivers again.
Benjamin, Sanders, White, Smith.
Wow, I only have one of those.
Right.
Okay, so.
Now.
Boy, Brady Romo, I think it's Brady. Yeah, I know you've washed your hands of him, Rick.
Well,
I don't like Romo going up there to Seattle.
Well, I don't either, but, you know, here's Brady just getting out of a walking boot. He's questionable for the game. I would still hang my hat with Romo on that one. That's probably not much help there if we're going to split that way. But, you know, I don't know. Brady going to Buffalo, had that walking boot on for a little bit. He's questionable. He's liable to go out and throw for 330, but he could be a 190 game too. And I don't know. I like Romo a lot better.
Romo's going to throw 17 interceptions. That's my prediction. Write that down. There will be 17 interceptions today.
No, he's much more efficient.
No.
Gore or Morris? I think Gore easily. I'm going to recommend Gore until he retires.
Yeah, I can't. 3 weeks ago, I just said Morris. This is going to be the week. Carlos Hyde, blah, blah, blah. No, it's Frank Gore. He's coming off back-to-back 100-yard games. There was a report out last night that the 49ers came out and said they don't want to overwork him. They don't want to wear him out. But I've heard that song and dance for the last four seasons, too. Go with Gore while he's hot. He's going to get the carries. He's going to find the end zone. You have to. I like Alfred Morris. I don't hate his matchup either this week. But yeah, you got to go Frank Gore here.
I think Frank Gore's been around long enough. They know if he's tired.
Right.
And he'll let them know.
Yeah, I think he'll
let
them
know.
Assume.
But okay, and then the wide receivers. Benjamin, Sanders, White, or Smith? In my mind, how can you bench Manny Sanders?
I don't think you can. He's what Wes Welker was supposed to be when he went up there. He's Eric Decker of last year. Not the touchdown production I'd like to see from him, but Benjamin's got himself a tough little matchup. I don't like Cam Newton today more than Benjamin. White's been a huge disappointment to me, Reagan. I know that's your boy, and he's been a letdown. And they're at home this week, and that's when they tend to have the big weeks. But there's a lot of mouths to feed there. I think the introduction of Devin Hester into that offense, a little bit of a role he never filled with the Bears, I think it's cutting into White's work more than Julio Jones. And, boy, Steve Smith, how do you bench him? He has, after this couple of big games, he didn't do much last week. I just don't trust that Ravens offense enough. That's just too good of a list. And a lot of lists, it would be Steve Smith. But Manny Sanders, you can't get away from him.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't fault anyone with any of these guys. But I think even in standard format, I think Sanders would be my guy. And then probably Smith. And you know, to me, Benjamin and White is a toss-up at this point right now.
Yeah,
White,
that's my order. Sanders, Smith, and then Pick. Probably then I go Benjamin, then White. White's just been a real letdown.
It really has. But the matchup this week should favor, a big game. I mean, you got Chicago at Atlanta. They're tough in the dome normally. You would think they'd really air it out, but White really hasn't put up any huge numbers in any game.
Right. So there we are. We caught up in the chat room, Ricky.
Caught up right now.
All right, let's hit some headlines. Jersey talked about Carson Palmer. He's going to get the start this week against the Redskins, so we'll get our first look at that. Yeah, boy, makes me nervous. Certainly wouldn't play him this week unless I was in a real desperate spot. Both Calvin Johnson, Rick, and Reggie Bush unlikely to play for the Lions. This has crushed many a team for me this week. It's going to be a long week. And I'm getting nervous. You're looking at this high ankle sprain. You don't really see Calvin Johnson missing a lot of time. This might be good long-term if you can stay afloat as a Calvin Johnson owner, maybe get some rest. And he's been playing through injuries, it seems like, for two straight years. Reggie Bush also. So what do you make of Joik Bell then this week? I imagine we'll have some Joik Bell questions before it's all said and done.
Yeah, especially with the bye weeks. And, of course, this week is light, and I think we forgot to mention it as we do that. Kansas City and New Orleans, if you're one of these guys that has Jamaal Charles on your roster and he's on a bye, how can you go wrong with Joik Bell? If he's going to be playing, he's been a huge disappointment. We talked about this in the midweek show. Detroit has been hugely disappointing all year long,
right,
save Golden Tate, really. Calvin Johnson's been bad. Now he's off, but now Golden Tate's drawn the top coverage with Calvin Johnson out. Stafford is what me and you said in the preseason, what he was going to be.
Right.
I wasn't buying the hype that Matt Stafford was number three, number four, any of that kind of stuff. And he hasn't brought to bear anything to disprove us. However, you would think with the weapons they have, sooner or later they're going to explode. I just haven't seen it. But Joik Bell, getting back to him, I think he's a viable start in a bye week situation, something like that. Wouldn't be taking him over any of your starters.
No. But in this situation, if you're a Reggie Bush owner, if you happen to handcuff him, although I don't know if you consider that a handcuff. They both got drafted about in the same round. But it's scary thing there for Megatron owners. I know it's hurting me. This one doesn't affect this week, Rick, because of the injuries, but I find it interesting. Jimmy Graham's going to miss 2 or 3 weeks after this bye week, so going to be some lean times for guys. This is why I yell, do not draft that tight end in the first round, even when it's Jimmy Graham, because you can't replace that. It's like taking a quarterback early. When they go down, you can't replace it, and that's going to hurt a lot of owners over the next few weeks.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So, anyway, yeah, hit on the other headline there. I thought I had one there, but we already covered that question.
So I think Marvin Jones still out. It looks like A.J. Green's going to be out, so it's the Mohamed Sanu show in Cincinnati. What do you make of him? Somebody's got to catch the ball, right? Does he have the big week a lot of the experts are expecting him to have?
I'm not so sure of that. I mean, I'm not, dismissing. I like Mohamed Sanu. I have him on quite a few teams. The guy's averaging in PPR formats over 15 points a game. You can't hardly go against that. Of course, he also has a 68-yard touchdown pass, to Andy Dalton as well.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt.
No, it doesn't. But getting to your point, A.J. Green out. He's drawing the top coverage. Marvin Jones out again. And so now it's Mohamed Sanu again and Gio Bernard. They're at home. But, it's going to be a tough game against Carolina. I look for Cincy to bounce back a little bit. I'd play Mohamed Sanu depending on who you have. I mean, there's the thing. I've one of my big leagues, a league of consequence, I was tossing him and Kendall Wright up in the air.
Right.
I got Kendall Wright in there because of the nice matchup against Jacksonville. But, without Jake Locker, I'm not really all that thrilled with Charlie Whitehurst, although he did okay last week.
He's been fine. He's better than I thought he would be.
Jacksonville's Jacksonville. They give up a ton of yards.
That's what they do. So down in Tampa, Rick Vincent Jackson, Mike Evans both expected to go. Now, here's one, speaking of those Titans, Rick, and you had a fit. I don't know if it was on this show or on the midweek show last week. Sean Green going to be out for week 6. What do you think of Bishop Sankey now?
I have him starting in.
You're in
a couple of legs.
You're feeling good.
I'm not feeling good, no. It's Tennessee. I mean, they haven't done anything all year. I mean, Sean Green had the 72 yards the first week, in that impressive win. Oh, Tennessee's better than what we thought. Well, they're not.
No.
And I don't think he's been over 40 yards since. So But I like Bishop Sankey in this matchup with Jacksonville.
Right.
That's the only reason I really like him. Let's get to the chat room. We've got some questions here. We have a non-PPR flex situation. Calvin Benjamin, Shane Vereen, or Brian Quick?
Ooh, I think it's got to be Quick. I'm all in on Calvin Benjamin, but I don't like that matchup that Carolina has going up against that Bengals defense. I think Cam Newton struggles. And you talk about the hot hand. Brian Quick's that steady as a rock. Austin Davis' go-to guy. I think it's Quick.
Yeah, I have to agree. I'm with you. I like Quick. And, Benjamin, close second. But, he had a little off week last week. Cincinnati's not the easiest defense in the world either. So, and like you said, I'm not real crazy about Cam Newton, at Cincinnati today. But Benjamin's still close second than Vereen. And, have a little thing in the chat room here. Per Cecil Lammy of the Football Guys, despite Hillman starting, the Broncos sources say there could be a larger role for Juwan Thompson than some think. Going back to what we said, Hillman's always his weak spot ever since college is pass protection. I don't think you want to risk, Peyton Manning all day long with this guy. And Juwan Thompson's, pretty good running back in his own situation there. So
yeah, the Hillman situation, we're going to get a ton of questions on him. If you can't protect Peyton Manning's blind side, you're not going to be on the field for 30 or 35 snaps. It's not going to happen. John Fox will not risk that. So that's going to be the risk for Hillman. When he's on the field, when he's making plays, I think he has some success, especially in this matchup today. But that's the big issue. They don't trust him to protect Peyton Manning, and that's a pretty big issue for Ronnie Hillman.
But, I'm sure he's been working with him, and, it'll be interesting to watch. I'll be watching some of that game, that's for sure.
Yeah, so to wrap up the headlines, it looks like Tom Brady is going to go, Rick. It looks like Reggie Bush definitely out. That about wraps it up. Vernon Davis says he's not ready to go yet. He's been a letdown. This injury really nagging for him. So if we don't have any questions, Rick, why don't we get into some starts and sits?
All right, we'll hit into that. And I'll tell you what, my start right now, Brandon Oliver, over, starting running back for San Diego. Oakland is number two in the league in pass defense. Unfortunately, this is rushing. And they're second only to Green Bay. They're giving up over 158 yards a game. I like Brandon Oliver going into this game. And even though Oakland's pass defense has been pretty good, Phillip Rivers is going to move the ball on them.
Right. And just a perfect setup for this kid. And we talked about it on the Fantasy Sports Network show that aired yesterday. I think this is a guy, he's going to have an impact. We have that impact segment. I think he's going to go out there, he's going to have a lot of success, and things are going to get a little murky when Ryan Matthews gets back and when Donald Brown is healthy. Things are going to get murky here, and this kid's got a chance to win this job. Acquitted himself very, very nicely last week, and you couldn't ask for a better matchup than this right now. And you wonder if this Oakland being the number two against the pass situation has more to do with the fact that they give up 785 yards rushing a game
than it does
them playing pass defense. As a Phil Rivers owner, I'm not going to be too concerned
either.
Although you do worry about them being up 60 at the half and Phil Rivers not having to throw the ball. Rick, my start at wide receiver, I think this is an easy one, but I want to talk about it with the news of Megatron, with everything going on there in Detroit. Golden Tate coming off that huge game. He's looked solid. He's looked good going up against Minnesota. Golden Tate is good enough to go out there and be that number one wide receiver, and those are the kind of numbers I expect from him this week.
Yeah, I agree 100%. No question about that. We have a one in the chat room here. We have quarterback, Roethlisberger versus Browns, Cousins versus Arizona.
I think it's Ben. He tortures the Browns. He gets it done. He'll turn the ball over. That's what's frustrating. It seems like the Browns managed to turn him over and put him on his back a good bit too. But this is just the kind of matchup that Roethlisberger owns this team, and it doesn't matter. And for whatever reason, Antonio Brown owns Joe Hayden. He's the one guy that's like Joe Hayden's arch nemesis. He goes out there. We talked about it in years past. You worry about that matchup, and Antonio Brown just torments him. So I think in this matchup, I actually think when we pick the game, I think the Browns win this game. I have that feeling, but I think Ben Roethlisberger goes out there and gets his.
Yeah, I do too, quite frankly. getting back to it, I'm not going to be giving up on Kirk Cousins. You know, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, I kind of like him a little better. But, you know, let's not forget Arizona, in their own right, has given up over 300 yards a game passing. You know, Kirk Cousins can whip it around to Deshaun Jackson. And so I still like Roethlisberger. I just think it's better matchup. You know, he loves playing in Cleveland.
It's
so.
History. It's the history of that matchup for me.
I agree.
646-478-4679 if you want to get your questions in. Rick, I'm going to jump to a sit, and this is a guy – We're talking about a lot about this Monday night game. We've got injuries. We got bye weeks. It's probably going to be pretty hard to sit him down. But after giving him some love a couple of weeks ago, Zach Stacy has really taken a big step backwards over the last couple of weeks. And in this matchup with the rookie quarterback, I don't think this bears well at all for the Rams. And ESPN, good God, they cannot draw a good game on Monday night to save their lives. But Zach Stacy's a guy, if I've got better options, if I've got the Brandon Olivers of the world, if I have the, I don't know, I don't want to say Matt Asiata, I don't like that matchup with Detroit, but there's a lot of guys, I'll put it, Frank Gores of the world, that I'm going to play over Zach Stacy this week.
Well, yeah, and plus he's coming out with the, you know, coming off that calf injury. He was questionable up until, I think, yesterday, something like that. So I can see Benny Cunningham getting, you know, quite a bit of work. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm not... Zach Stacy, I was pretty high on him going into this year, but, you know, he certainly hasn't been all that reliable, and he's been benching a lot of my leagues, so I agree 100%. You know, I was just checking up while we were talking. Joe Hayden, he's still questionable with that hip, so, I mean, that just makes things even a little bit better
for
Ben Roethlisberger.
Although I almost hope he plays just the way Antonio Brown owns him. I can't even slow him down. It's weird. Probably best corner in the league for a couple of years, and Antonio Brown, for whatever reason, just eats his lunch every single time.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go to a sit here. You know, they're giving up 74 yards a game rushing, you know, about 3.2 per carry. And I think Detroit's going to be keying on trying to stop the run of Minnesota. I think Matt Asiata is a sit this week. He's had a pretty good run last week, even though he had to fumble, no touchdown. He still has managed 72 yards. But, you know, I'm not real high on him this week.
No, he makes you nervous. And about the time you sit him down, he goes out and has that 3-touchdown game. But here's what I do know. He's not going to go out there and average 4 yards a carry. They're going to be keying on him. There is no reason in the world for Detroit to fear Teddy Bridgewater. He played well in his opportunity a couple weeks ago, but he's nothing you fear. So you're going to key on Asiata, I'm going to break some ground here, Rick. That's a little different than keying on Adrian Peterson.
Really?
If you key on Asiata, you can take him away in a PPR format. With the bye weeks and the injuries, I think you can justify working him in a flex spot, maybe in a PPR, hoping he finds the end zone. But you're looking at, what, 55, 60
right.
yards. That's about the best you're going to hope for out of Asiata. And the other kid, I think he's going to get his touches too. So now you're starting to split them carries. You're going to try and find it. I actually, Rick, I should be washing my hands of it. I'm concerned. And with that hip injury, I'm curious to see what happens with Cordell Patterson this week with Bridgewater coming back. I'm not thinking they're going to be able to run the ball. They're going to have to find ways to move it. And you would think that would line up nice for Patterson. He hasn't done anything with it yet, but he's a guy, you know, if you want to call him a watch, he's an every week start till last week. Now most people have him benched. I'm still reticent to bench him this week. I think they're going to have to find a way to move the ball.
I'm quicker to pull the trigger on guys. I would bench him until he did something. But we have to get to the chat room. We're falling way behind. And here is a extremely difficult question. Martellus Bennett or Antonio Gates?
Oh, my.
I'd have to roll Bennett. I'm sorry. I mean, you know, all due respect to, you know, the only official Fantasy Football Hall of Fame, you know, member, Antonio
True.
Gates,
True.
The asylum. But Martellus Bennett, I tell you what, he is just phenomenal right now. And, you know, I think you can't go wrong with him. I think you know what you're going to get with him.
I think the upside is the exact same for both guys. So what it becomes, the tiebreaker becomes consistency. And Bennett's done it all year. Gates has been way up, way back down, way up again, way back down. You're a pretty steady line. Jay Cutler's struggling a little bit, and when he does, he's looking at Bennett to bail him out. Yeah, Brandon Marshall still seems nicked up a little bit. The offense just not doing what we expect, and it's running through Bennett.
Yeah, just one stat to consider. Martellus Bennett, 32 catches. Antonio Gates, 21.
Right.
I think that just goes, you know, lends more to consistency. Gates has the 5 touchdowns. I understand that. Bennett has 4 in his own right. But I just think Martellus Bennett is just a little more consistent start there. Okay, let's head on. Where are we at here? Okay. Desperate for a running back. He has Taliaferro, but could drop him for Reeves, Chris Johnson, Anderson, Blue, or Jaquizz, or Hyde. I think I'd almost have to stay with Taliaferro, I think. I don't know. No, I can't say that either. Good Lord.
That's tough. That's a tough spot. Is it Hyde? I think it might be Hyde.
Ah, wow. You know.
One thing about Hyde, he hasn't done a ton with it. He's gotten 10 carries the last 2 weeks. I don't know that Taliaferro gets 10 carries.
You know, I'd probably have to go Hyde, and then, as much as I hate, then Johnson, because Johnson's going to get your 10.
He's going to be on the field.
10, 12 carries, something like that, yeah.
So. And I don't know if it's a PPR league. You know what, it might be Johnson over Hyde for me.
It might be.
I think about it. You know, yeah, I'm gonna change. I'm going to flip-flop here.
And I know Reeves is getting the nod, you know, going to get a lot of work in Carolina, but a lot of work is relative in Carolina.
Right,
we
exactly.
saw when D'Angelo got the start a couple weeks ago, I was kind of all in. You know, this is the only healthy back in. I mean, whatever worked, he did nothing.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it is a standard league that format. He answered your question. So
I still think, just based on who I think is going to get the most touches, I think it goes Chris Johnson, then it goes Hyde, then it goes Taliaferro, then it goes Reeves. I think that's my order right there. Hyde's nice because he consistently 10 carries, and they're talking about not wanting to overwork Gore, so I see him getting that number, maybe a play or two more
right.
than that. But even averaging 4 yards a carry, Frank Gore's still getting the goal line work. I think as much as I hate him, Chris Johnson, you know he's going to touch the ball. I know Ivory's taking that job over, but he's still Chris Johnson.
Yeah.
They're going to find ways to get him the ball.
Johnson, Hyde, Reeves for me, I think.
All right. That
would be mine. Okay, let's go. Oh, from our old buddy Dave, Cherney, Road Warrior. Question, guys, if you have a fantasy football matchup that you think's going to be tight, do you prefer playing it safe or swinging for the fence? And Dave's known us for quite a few years. I think he knows the answer. To us, he has Garcon and Ertz. Who do I play to make me a champ or chump? Well, you root for the Caps, so I think we know the answer to that one.
Well, that really bothers you, that Caps thing of his.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he just threw two middle fingers up at his microphone.
I prefer to play it safer. I think Garcon, even though he's up and down, is still a safer play than Ertz.
Right.
And I mean, you know, the tight end Ertz is not, you're not talking Gates, you're not talking Bennett,
right.
anybody like that. I think Garcon is definitely the better play.
By comparison, I think I'm conservative overall. By comparison with you, I'm more of a swing for the fence kind of guy. So to say that I'm in the middle and you're very conservative, where I don't want to swing for the fence, where you're swinging too hard, where you're Sammy Sosa screwing yourself into the ground on a swing, is with a guy like Zach Ertz, because you're counting on the touchdown for him to get his numbers. Pierre Garcon, he struggled, and I don't like the matchup with Peterson this week, obviously. But, you know,
D-Jax will get Peterson, I bet you.
Maybe. The only guy I can keep up with him downfield. But here I think, you know, he's not the only tight end in town. So I think you're counting on him getting in the end zone. That's what I don't like counting on, is having to have that touchdown. So if Pierre Garcon's a safe play there, and I guess out of those two guys he is, then I'll play it safe. Garcon could go out and have 8 catches. He honestly could, and he does it quite frequently. This year, more than others, he's had a tendency to disappear a little bit too. But yeah, I guess I'll play it safe. I'll be conservative like Rick Briggs.
Wow, that's amazing there. Okay, let's see. We have a non-PPR, very tough choice here. You have to pick one, Wes Welker versus the Jets. Calvin Benjamin against Cincinnati, Mike Wallace against Green Bay. I'll let you take this one first. Right.
Benjamin Wallace. What was that first one?
Welker.
Welker. Calvin Benjamin. Welker. This is what we saw out of him last year, and he's slow getting it rolling again. Mike Wallace, still a letdown. You're still counting on that deep ball from him. That entire Dolphins offense has been a train wreck. So don't like the matchup, don't particularly love it, but with those three, I think it's Kelvin Benjamin. He's by far the best receiver on that list.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go along there. I like Kelvin Benjamin. I don't like the matchup all that much against Cincinnati, quite frankly. But I don't think you can go Wallace. He's just too much of a one-trick pony. You may get the 80-yard touchdown catch, and then again, you might not.
Right,
and that's
and if you don't, he's going to have three catches for 27 yards. If you don't get, he's been better this year. He's started to come around a little bit, but
and Hartline's been a lot quieter, who used to be the more steady guy. But
they've just been bad on offense.
Yeah,
pure and simple.
They have. There's no question. You know, I think Benjamin to me, then Welker, fairly close, and then Wallace would be third in that one.
We talk about that matchup with Cincinnati. I don't think Carolina gets shut out. So somebody's going to have to move the ball. They sure as hell aren't going to run it. So I think Kelvin Benjamin's got to be the guy. What is it going to be, Jericho Cotchery? Is Abont even playing yet? I mean,
yeah,
Kelvin Benjamin is the best option on that offense. And even if they struggle, he'll get a little bit of his, I think.
I think so. So there you go. And I think we're caught up right now for the time being.
All right, all caught up here. Let's jump.
No, I'm going to go to a what.
All right, you do that.
And in fact, I don't even think I had a sit, but I'm just going to a watch anyway. And, you know, I don't know how much time we have because I have a couple good ones. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to watch Kyle Orton.
Yeah, that's interesting.
This is a guy, he's better than E.J. Manuel. He's had a modicum of success in the past. Buffalo, to me, is better. I think they need a little bit of veteran presence to take control of that team. Watch to see if Orton is this guy. You know, he come off the win last week, and they're riding high a little bit. They got a big matchup at home against New England. I'm curious to see how he plays. Kyle Orton could turn into a bench stasher that just may be handy come the end of the year.
Kyle Orton, from a fantasy football perspective, has been a guy who, I want to say a low-rent Tony Romo almost, puts up fantasy numbers, puts up obscene amounts of yards if you go back through the years, finds a way to lose a ton of games, loves to throw interceptions, but this guy's known to put up some numbers. He didn't do it last week, but hell, he was bagging groceries 3 weeks ago or whatever it was he was doing. Explain that whole weird thing down in Dallas, and he just disappears, and then just bang, one day he was in Buffalo. I don't even understand how that happened.
It's strange. He just retires out of the blue, and, you know, you would think, backing up Tony Romo, making a cool meal or two a year, I'm sure, whatever it was.
Huh? It's a pretty sweet gig.
Yeah, I think it was even more than that they actually would have owed him that year, closer to $5 million, I think, for this coming year.
He just walked away from him.
Walks away, and now all of a sudden in Buffalo, of all places, you know, hey, Kyle, you want to play? Sure.
Yeah, I'm in.
I don't know.
There's more to that story with Kyle Orton and the Cowboys. I remember talking about that over the summer, how strange it was that the Cowboys had no idea. He wasn't returning phone calls. He wasn't doing anything. He just sort of disappeared. But I agree with you, Rick. He tends to stack up some numbers. You stash him away. You know, Jersey had the question looking ahead to week 9. This is a guy, if I was in a bye week shot, I'd get a swing for the fences type of move. He tends to put up numbers. We got a question on the tweeters there, Rick, from our buddy, 8-year-old Alex. Has a quarterback question. Big Ben or Cam Newton? Tough call. He faces that one every week. That's tough, playing his matchups with the quarterback.
It is a tough call. And, you know, I think either one of these quarterbacks is an every week start. And, boy, I tell you what, I think I'm going to have to go Big Ben this week. You know, he likes playing Cleveland. You know, this game is a scary game to me. You know, they started out like gangbusters in week 1.
Right.
Looked unbeatable the first half. Turned around, looked like they couldn't beat me or you in the second half, and Cleveland roared back, which, by the way, is not the first time that they've done that this year. You know, you go back to that 29-28 win down 28-3.
I guess they're a second-half team.
Exactly.
You can say that.
But I still think with the weapons they have, look, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Heath Miller, you know, Marcus Wheaton starting to show himself a little bit. Too many weapons for Pittsburgh. I think Ben's a good play here.
Yeah, and we talked about it a lot earlier on in the show. I think we had a Ben question earlier. He plays well against the Browns. He tortures the Browns. Every quarterback has that team he owns. And statistically, look, he's not going to put. I don't think he's going to put up 350, but I think 275 to 300. He's going to throw a couple touchdowns. Antonio Brown's just going to go nuts. He owns Joe Hayden. Cam Newton's got a tough matchup here, and it, we seem to have this every week. And the lack of a running game, and the young and inexperienced and new receivers they have down there. I think it's Big Ben. This is a perfect matchup for him. And Ben seems to play better against Cleveland in Cleveland, if you go back and look at it. He really likes playing up there. I don't understand why. It's just a terrible place. But he plays well there. I think you're safest with Ben. Cam Newton's going to be a feast or famine guy with this matchup of Cincinnati.
I think so. Yeah, well, you know, Cleveland's a good place for Ben to play. And he's an Ohio guy. He likes to
playing at home, well, I guess. Yeah.
So, all right, we have a tough one here. And I tell you what, this is tough because do you take this risk? I have the Philly defense versus the Giants. The Tennessee D is available, and they're playing Jacksonville. Worth rolling the dice. You know, I haven't looked a whole lot, quite frankly, on defensive points fantasy-wise, and I'm pulling some up right now, like in the format that we use. I mean, I have the Philadelphia Eagles as the fantasy league-leading
so many defensive scoring formats, though.
Well, exactly. I'm just saying that the one that I have, they're leading. But, I mean, they have 11 sacks, 3 picks, 5 fumble recoveries, 5 touchdowns, 3 block kicks, 2 touchdowns. I think you just roll with Philadelphia. I mean, you know, they've been producing for you. You're going to have up and down weeks. You know, to pick up Tennessee, I don't know. I think I just roll with Philadelphia. I mean, Eli's not immune to throwing a few picks.
Yeah, that was going to be my point. Eli's got it rolling right now. We're seeing the good Eli, and that I see why that makes you nervous. He also lives to turn the ball over, and he lives to do stupid things on national TV on this Sunday night game. I think, depending on what your scoring format is, I guess if you lean yardage heavy, if that's where the bulk of your points come from, if you're leaning that direction, maybe you think about it. But in a general defensive format, if you're in a fairly standard league where your turnovers, your sacks, and then, of course, the possibility of returning a touchdown against Eli Manning, I think you still go with the Eagles. I think the Giants go out there and put up some yards, put up some points, but you're going to see some turnovers. That's the way these games go. So I stand pat there. I hate you wasting some waiver priority, wasting some free agent dollars for that one-week plug-in. Rick, we got another one on Twitter. Psychata. I hope I said that right. I'm just stammering all over.
At Psychomatic.
There we go. Let's go with that. We need 3 out of 4. Joyke Bell, Alfred Morris, Kelvin Benjamin, Cordell Patterson. Oh, boy, that's so tough.
Not to me. In order, Benjamin, Morris, Bell. I don't want any part of Cordell Patterson until I see something out of him. Joyke Bell's got to start with Bush banged up. Alfred Morris, and we've already talked about Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to agree. I don't know about the order. It doesn't really matter, but out of those four, it's Cordell Patterson. I know I said early on in the year that – or in the year, goodness, but 15 minutes ago. I guess that was earlier in the year technically. But Patterson intrigues me because they're going to have to find a way to move the ball. They're still an NFL offense, and Bridgewater's going to have to lean on somebody. But you got three better choices there. Joyke Bell going to be the only game in town today, so he's going to be the volume play. Everybody, you know what you're getting with Alfred Morris, which I like. It comes down to Benjamin or Patterson for me, and I'm going to trust Benjamin there. But when we get Scott on here at the top of the hour, yeah, he's a Minnesota guy. I'm curious what his thoughts are on Cordell Patterson, because at the time I should be jumping off completely. I'm starting to find myself intrigued again, and I'm not sure why.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just out on Patterson. I wasn't high
on
him, actually.
Well, it's a good stance to take. I don't disagree with
you. Yeah, and I mean, I just wasn't high on him going into the year like you were. And he's sort of a Percy Harvin to me. You know, a lot of potential and great player, but really till I see it, I'm just not buying into it. Now, Harvin's been, he's just such a dynamic player and had more success this year. It was always more health concern with him, but I just haven't seen a whole lot out of Patterson or this whole Minnesota team.
Well,
so.
Yeah, I don't know why. I can't justify it. Maybe, hopefully Scott can give me some, could talk me back down or give me some justification. I can live with that too. Wait, we caught up there, Rick, or?
Yeah, let's get to another, let's go to, what were we on, a sit?
You just gave a watch. I'm going to give one, Rick. This is, I am a big believer in, and I know you're not. We discussed this a couple weeks ago with DeSean Jackson, and I dummied into being right on that one. I am a big believer in these revenge games. The Falcons at home have been working Devin Hester into that offense to the, we talked about it earlier, I think to the detriment of Roddy White and Harry Douglas for that matter. For whatever reason, that ended bad between Devin Hester and the Bears, and he is mad. And I can see them, and especially in a game of this magnitude, coaches tend to try and work him in more. I believe in this revenge factor. Devin Hester's an interesting guy if you've got some injuries you're dealing with. I got some leagues where I'm way down on my receiver depth chart. Devin Hester's an interesting cat here. It makes you nervous because you're counting on that. I buy into this revenge game stuff. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, there's some motivation to some of these. I mean, look at Steve Smith.
There's another example. DeSean Jackson went nuts on Philly a couple weeks ago.
You get that, yeah, and it's those type of guys. It's the, I don't know, it's the laid-back guys that you don't see that. But these guys, the Steve Smiths, DeSean Jackson, so forth, I mean, they have a chip on their shoulder whether things are going their way or not.
Right, you give them this extra piece of motivation.
Exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, there could be something to be said for that this week. There's no question.
I mean, I don't know who I'd tell you I'd start him over because it's still going to be a risk. But if you've got some issues and you're really combing that waiver wire and you're sort of down in the mud looking for a one-week plug-in, I find him intriguing.
Say just offbeat, you know, the Kansas City, New Orleans. Say you have Marquise Colston and Dwayne Bowe. They're on a bye.
Right.
Maybe they throw in a flex or something like that. Maybe worth a shot. Who knows?
I mean, I think if you're in our league of consequence, if you're in a three receiver, one flex league, I think you might be able to make room for him if you're dealing with some injuries.
Right.
Rick, we got a call on the line. Area code 860. If I can find the button. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's Dean from Connecticut.
How you doing, Dean?
I'm doing good. You guys got to redeem yourself this week.
Uh-oh. Did we bury it last week?
Well, I can't blame you guys. I got to blame myself because I clicked submit. You know, I'm dealing with a league here with Calvin and Monty Ball, and last week I lost by 6 points because I started Larry Donnell and Victor Cruz. Remember we talked about that?
Who is this? I have no idea what you're talking about. Yes.
This is Dean from Connecticut.
Oh, yeah, I remember, D. Just kidding.
You're breaking up, D.
Oh, yeah. No, man. If I 6 points, man, I should have went with Kelsey and Cruz. Oh, man. I could have had Emmanuel Sanders in there. So I'm in a must-win, guys. Now.
Okay. Shoot.
I got to start three of these four. Personally, I kind of want to run with the running backs, but I want to know what you guys think. Do I truck Cruz out there again this week, or do I go with – I got Brandon Oliver, Williams, the running back for the Giants, and Ellington. Out of those four, which three would you stick in there?
I tell you what, I think I would have to – now, are you PPR? You're standard, right?
No, yeah, this one's standard.
I think I would have to roll with the running backs. Quite frank, I mean, Ellington's had great success. Andre Williams is a starter. And Oliver, we talked about that at the top of the show. I think Oliver is a fantastic start this week. I mean, you know, Oakland gives up a ton of rushing yards.
All right, man. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. For me, I think Oliver and Ellington are no-brainers. It comes down to Cruz and Williams for me. And yeah, Cruz is up and down. He had those couple nice weeks. We all went back in, but I don't want to forget about that year, basically, that we had before that with Victor Cruz. So in a must-win, back to the question we had earlier about playing it safe or swinging for the fences, if I'm in a must-win, I'm going to play it safe here. You're going to get something out of Williams. You're going to get some goal-line carries. There's going to be some points scored here. Cruz, look, and you could be calling us next week saying, boy, you swung and missed on Cruz because he had 180 and a touchdown. But it's a risky proposition, and Williams is going to be the safer bet there.
All right, man. Sounds good. We're all on the same page this week.
Yeah, we're either on the right page or the wrong page. But I have to agree with you. I mean, yeah, I like whenever I have the choice, even in standard formats, I still like rolling with running backs because we've seen with Ellington, you know, maybe you're not getting points for receptions, but you still get points for yardage receiving. So you have that double dip there with running backs.
You still get points for 100 yards and a touchdown like you did last week.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, I always – you know, if you have a good proposition at running back, and I think all three of those are, I just think that's a safer play.
Now, hey, are they going to truck Calvin out there this week again or what?
Early reports are he's going to be out. Nothing official yet to this point. I think if you're in that much doubt and Golden Tate's playing that well, I hope they don't. I don't think they need to. But they sort of came out officially on Reggie Bush. The reports last night were that Megatron wasn't going to go, but I don't think, unless it's happened in the last 15 minutes, there's anything official on him yet. I think even if he does, he's been so bad the last couple of weeks, I think you still bench him.
Really? I want to play Emmanuel Sanders over him, even if he plays, man. He's killing me.
Yeah, I think that's a wise decision. You know what you're going to get out of Sanders, even if Johnson does play. He's become iffy, which you don't say about that guy often. So, yeah, definitely roll Emmanuel Sanders there.
All right, guys. Good luck with your matchups.
And same to you, buddy. We don't like hearing you come on saying you lost by 6 points and yeah,
we got to have full disclosure on the asylum. You know that.
Oh,
you're
no kidding. Not kidding, buddy. We talked about that at length last week. And, you know, you look back at the way they were playing. I mean, it was hard not to have Cruz in there. But, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, that's the whole thing about fantasy football.
Exactly. Atlanta was so horrible. I thought that was going to be a bonanza, man.
Yeah, and that's what always seems to be. You know, like this Chicago-Atlanta matchup today, to me, has 1,000 points written all over it. And then, you know, it could turn into a 24-21 game and nothing spectacular. You just never know sometimes.
Yeah. All right, man.
Good luck, and I hope we talk to you next week.
All right, take it easy, guys.
All right, man. Hey, let's get to chat room here, Rick. We got maybe the toughest call of the day.
Ooh, there's been a lot of those.
Trying not to be swayed by trash talking, do I roll with Dez versus the Seahawks or flat out sit him for Mike Wallace or Wes Welker? I don't think you can sit Dez Bryant for anybody.
Right. You temper your expectations, but he's Dez Bryant. And he may have the big week. Again, they're still going to move the ball. They're still a dynamic offense. I think if anybody suffers this week, it's going to be DeMarco Murray. And if you saw that catch Dez Bryant made last week, he's going to find a way to get his. They'll find a way to get him clear of Richard Sherman a little bit. Again, temper your expectations, but unless you have an Emmanuel Sanders, you know, situation where Dean's choosing between Emmanuel Sanders and Calvin Johnson, there I might tell you to sit Dez and play Manny Sanders. But for Mike Wallace, I don't remember who the other guy was, you got to roll with Dez.
Yeah. I definitely agree. Okay, we have one standard need a wide receiver and a flex.
Okay.
From Crabtree, Vincent Jackson, Michael Floyd, CJ Spiller.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, man. It's I cannot write. Okay, number one, B-Jack's battling that rib injury. That scares me a little bit. I can't bench Michael Crabtree right now, so I'm gonna put Crabtree in there for your wide receiver. Well, we don't care about you, so okay.
He's a sorry receiver, Rick.
Yeah, I know.
Who was talking about you?
Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the bet?
I don't get to use that often enough.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Rick.
You do it while you're talking, okay?
All right, go ahead,
jerk. All right, and I tell you what, even with a bad rib, I find it hard to sit Vincent Jackson. And it makes it tough because, you know, Spiller has potential, but you had the Fred Jags effect. Floyd, you don't know what you're going to get with Carson Palmer.
Right. That's the concern.
So I'm going Vincent Jackson, Crabtree.
It's V-Jax 1 for me. It comes down to throw Spiller out. He's as good as dead to me. So it comes down to Crabtree, Floyd. That's really close for me. And Richard Sherman, I'm trying not to let him tilt my thought. Here's the problem with Crabtree. They spread it out. There's Anquan Boldin games. We had a Stevie Johnson game a couple of weeks ago.
Vernon Davis is supposedly coming back from that back injury. I actually had him as one of my watches. You know, I'm kind of curious to see, you know, what he's going to do.
I'll go with Crabtree here, but that is really close for me. No, you know what? No, I'm not going to do it. I'm changing. I'm sorry. I hate to split. It's V-Jax easy for me. I think Floyd has more upside. Crabtree, I don't like that 49ers offense. They're back to running the ball. You know, Stevie Johnson went off one week. You'll see weeks Anquan Boldin goes off. I don't trust Crabtree. I'm going V-Jax Floyd. That's where I'm going to go. Okay. It's really close for me, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's close for me, too. I hate to bench Floyd. I really do. But and you know, with Drew Stanton in there, even if Palmer shoulder's no good, Drew Stanton's clear to play.
Right.
I mean, I'll yield to you just to be unanimous. I think Floyd, you know, with Stanton in there, so.
Well, God knows it's not going to be Larry Fitzgerald.
Nah, that's for sure. Okay, hurry up. We got to get to the games. We have another question here. I have Dalton Ugg. Yeah, I have him too, pal.
Ugg.
Playing the early match or Palmer likely playing the later match?
Dalton. I don't trust Palmer. He's been sitting around for a month waiting for a shoulder to wake up.
I agree. I have to agree with that. You know, as much as I like Dalton, yeah, I agree with you. In fact, just to be honest with you, I had Dalton starting this week, ended up dropping Joe Flacco. You know, and I
probably a wise decision.
Yeah, and I picked up Eli, and I started Eli over Dalton. But, I mean, there's the crux of it right there. I would not want to wait on Carson Palmer's shoulder,
right,
and then be screwed at the end of the day. So
take Dalton. So we caught up in a question. We got 4 minutes till Scott can
right,
be here at the top
the
of the hour.
Here.
Let's pick our games. Rick, New England travels to Buffalo. Always an interesting game up there.
Yeah, and you know, I washed my hands of Brady, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and he goes out promptly and torches. I didn't even forget who it was now, but you know, had a pretty big game. Going to Buffalo, yeah, Cincinnati. I think it's going to be a close game. Division game. I'm going back to New England, 24-20.
Yeah. I really want to pick Buffalo. That's a scrappy little team. They're fun to watch. But, yeah, I have New England 23, Buffalo 17. Carolina at Cincinnati. We talked a lot about this game already today.
Yeah, I tell you what, I think this is going to be a close game. You know, Cincinnati's hurting a little bit. They got Bernard and Sanu, and that's basically what they have right now. But somewhere along the line, I think they get it done at home. I have Cincinnati 30, Carolina 28, a little bounce back.
Yeah, Cincinnati too good, Carolina struggling a little bit. I get Cincinnati there as well. Pittsburgh at Cleveland.
Everything tells me to take Cleveland, but I'm going to stick with the old Homer pick. I'm going Pittsburgh 27, Cleveland 20.
Yeah, this one's tough for me. I'm going to go Cleveland here 24-21, I think. Yeah, very similar to what we saw, big first half from the Steelers, and they start to revert back. Although I don't feel good about this because Ben just doesn't lose to Cleveland. Cleveland finds new and interesting ways to lose to the Steelers all the time. But I'm going to go out on a limb there and make that pick. Green Bay at Miami.
Yeah, Miami, I'm not. You know, they're kind of scary. I mean, they played a good game against New England, then they turn around and lay eggs. Green Bay's rolling. I don't care if they're at home or not. Miami, I like Green Bay, 37-21.
Yeah, Green Bay's got it going. I don't think it's close either. Detroit at Minnesota.
Probably closer than it should be, but I like Detroit 31-20.
Yeah, I think this might be the game Matt Stafford gets off a little bit, even with Reggie Bush and Calvin Johnson off. I got Detroit by two touchdowns. Denver at the Jets.
Well, you know, the Jets, it's Denver, 30-16.
Yeah, Denver 164, the Jets 2. Baltimore at Tampa Bay.
You know, under John Harbaugh, I think Baltimore at home is like, I don't know what it is. They've lost like one game, something like that, and whatever it is. But they're at Tampa. Tampa's playing better. I like Baltimore 26-24.
I'm going to go a little mild upset here. Tampa Bay got it going a little bit. I like the Glenn and V-Jax connection there. I'm going to go Tampa Bay 17, Baltimore 14 in the defensive struggle. Jacksonville at Tennessee.
Everything wants me to pick Jacksonville as an upset, but, you know, they're in Tennessee. I'm going Tennessee 24, Jacksonville 23.
See, this one, Rick, Jacksonville's not going to go 0-16. This just doesn't happen that often. If you're going to find a game to win, it might be at Tennessee with Charlie Whitehurst starting. I'm going to go, yeah, I sure wouldn't put any money on it, but I'm going to go ahead and pick Jacksonville here 20-17. San Diego at Oakland.
I think San Diego's all over them, 38-17.
Yeah, this is another one. Oakland's going to find a win somewhere, but it's not going to be against this Chargers offense. Washington at Arizona.
You know, you can move on Arizona somewhat, as we've seen. And actually, it was, one of my starts. I wouldn't be giving up on Kirk Cousins just yet if you had,
right,
like, a bye situation or injury or whatever. Arizona gives up some yardage passing, but I still think they're a better team. I like Arizona 31, Washington 24.
Yeah, I think Arizona finds a way to pull this one out at home as well. Chicago at Atlanta.
You know, 2 weeks ago, I'd have taken Chicago easily, but they're playing in the dome. And, I just don't think Atlanta's going to get beat by Chicago. I like Atlanta 34, Chicago 27.
Yeah, I like the matchup for Chicago, but they struggled defensively. Atlanta's so good, and they are such a good home team. I think it's Atlanta by double digits. Dallas at Seattle.
I don't like the 13th man, and I have Seattle 26, Dallas 18.
Yeah, I think this is going to end up being a little closer than one would think, the way DeMarco Murray's rolling, the way Dez Bryant's rolling. But in the end, Seattle gets it done at home. The Giants at Philadelphia on Sunday night.
Tell you what, the obvious thing, man, Giants are hot, roll with them. I'm going Philly 30, New York 29.
Yeah, I think Philly's got too much offense here. I think this game's played in the 30s. I'm going to go 34-31. And Monday Night Football, a real juggernaut here, San Francisco at the Rams.
This is an interesting matchup. That AFC or NFC West, they play each other tough. Remember a couple years ago, I believe St. Louis won like 6 or 7 games, and they were 4-1-1 in the division, something like that. But I think San Francisco is starting to wake up a little bit. I like San Francisco 24, St. Louis 20.
Yeah, just too much offense for San Francisco, and I'll take them. Not so close. I'll go 25-14, San Francisco.
All right, let's get caught up in the chat room before we bring Mr. Fish on.
Okay.
We have, Jordan Reed's cleared to play. I think we mentioned, I don't know if we mentioned that or not. We have a question. You want Jordan Reed or Niles Paul?
Ooh. Oh, do I have to? I'm going to go Niles Paul.
Oh, this guy doesn't.
Jordan Reed's going to get hurt again. It's what the guy does. For this week, I'll go Niles Paul. Although this one could hurt you, I think.
Yeah, see, I think if Jordan Reed's cleared to play and, you monitor it, but if he's getting the start, I think you roll Jordan Reed until he gets another concussion.
Be running out of the tunnel at the beginning of the game, unfortunately.
I don't know. I mean, it's tough. I mean, Jordan Reed, much more upside. So, I mean, if he's getting the start, I'm going with Reed. If he's just questionable, this, that, and the other, I'd have to roll with Paul. But I think Reed has more upside. Let's see. Oh, non-PPR, flex position, Asiata, Stacy, Crabtree.
There it's Crabtree. Asiata and Stacy have horrible matchups. I'm going to go Crabtree there.
Boy, that's a tough one. I don't like...
You know what it is for me? It's a cop-out because I couldn't pick between Asiata and Stacy, so I'll just take the other
guy. I'm going Asiata.
Okay.
He's a sit for me this week. When we're talking sits is like more of a running back situation. But I think in a flex spot, I think he's going to get to red zone carries. I don't know how many times Minnesota will be there against Detroit, but I think they're going to score some points. I think he's going to get the chance down there. I think Asiata is the better play.
All right. We all caught up. Time to bring Scott in.
Yeah, we'll bring in Mr. Fish.
All right, now joining us, good friend of the show, been on hold for hours now, it seems. Scott Fish, how's it going this morning, Scott?
How's it going, guys? You know what? I would stay online or on hold for a couple more hours on this show. I absolutely love it. And by the way, how good is that guy's team that he's considering benching Dez? I have some good teams, but man, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I got some rotten teams, so that's nothing I'll ever face. So, hey, so Scott, our Minnesota insider, talk me out of Cordell Patterson. Why am I getting the warm and fuzzies about him all of a sudden?
Oh, man. I don't know why you are. Detroit has one of the best defenses in the NFL right now. And he's just not performing, mostly because Norv doesn't like to change, and apparently Norv came in deciding he wasn't going to get Cordero the snaps he needs. I think people are going to have to starting him during all these bye weeks and injuries coming out, but it's really risky right now. He's just not getting the snaps, and if you're not getting the snaps or the touches, then yeah, it's tough to buy into him right now, despite all the coach speak.
All right, I'll back off then, Rick. I think you look like you got a question over there in the chat room. You're chomping.
Yeah,
at
well, no, it's actually on Twitter here. It's PPR, and since we have Scott on here, this will be our first question here before we get into the mailbag. We have a PPR question: Lamar Miller or Torrey Smith?
I'll let you start.
I tell you what, to me, I think it's easy. I think Lamar Miller. You can run on Green Bay, and you add the PPR to it. I just think it's just an added dimension. You know, Torrey Smith has really been, this year. And, you know, so I'm going Lamar Miller.
Well, I think you're right. I think it's really, really close. The last I heard is Moreno is probably going to try and play with a cast. Is that still correct?
As far as I know, but I tell you what, man, you know, carrying the ball with a cast on an elbow until, you know, I just can't see him getting a ton of work right off the bat. And maybe I'm wrong, but I just, you know, Lamar Miller has actually been acquitting himself quite well. And, you know, even in that offense that hasn't produced a whole ton, I don't know. I just think I'd feel better with Lamar Miller.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's tough. It is. But Torrey Smith has been such a letdown. And I keep thinking the next week's going to be the week he goes off. And it's just not happening. That Ravens offense is pretty bad. So I don't have any fear of no Sean Moreno. I have more fear of Lamar Miller. But in this matchup, I think I'll go with Lamar. It's fairly close for me, though.
All right. With Marino active, it makes it a lot tougher, that's for sure. Okay, we have a standard question in the chat room here. Roddy White or Mohamed Sanu?
Oh, boy. We just talked so much about Roddy White. Go ahead, Scott. I'm going to think about this one.
I'm going to go Sanu. I do think it's pretty tight, but Sanu's just been a target monster recently, and especially with AJ Green out, I don't want you to bench Sanu and miss out on the 120-yard two-touchdown game. I don't know that he's going to get that, but I think there's a chance, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it is very – I mean, you could put a piece of rice paper between the two as close as they are. I mean, you're Roddy White, you're going against that Chicago defense. I think Atlanta has a lot of upside. But to Scott's point, Sanu is the guy that's going to get there's not that many weapons to go to in Cincinnati. I mean, you have Bernard, and, you know, then you have, you know, I don't know, they're just, you know, tight ends. So, you know, you just don't have anything else really on his side with Jones and A.J. Green out. White, you have, you know, Julio Jones, and – you know, that's enough right there. 11 catches, whatever it was last week, and a million yards. I think Sanu is probably, by a whisker, the better play.
Yeah, just based on upside for me right there. Roddy White, you know, we talk about Torrey Smith. I think he's been a disappointment. And if I'm right on this weird gut feeling I have about Devin Hester today, I think that takes away from Roddy White. And Mohamed Sanu, they're going to have to score. They're going to have to move the ball, and he's the only game in town right now. So I'll go there.
That's
okay.
Kind of scary, Fleeger, because I have a kind of a gut feeling on Devin Hester as well for today. So that can't mean good things.
I really buy into those revenge games. I do, maybe at my own peril, but if you look at the DeSean Jackson situation earlier on in the year, the Steve Smith, now Devin Hester ain't those two guys, but I buy into that. There's something there. They're trying to work him into the offense a lot more than Chicago ever did, and he's been chirping all week. That obviously did not end well in Chicago.
Right. Okay, let's get to the chat room here. We have another standard question. This is tight end, and basically, as he writes, the Philly Sports Talker, the lesser of two evils. You have Niles Paul versus Arizona or Ebron versus Minnesota. And he's thinking Ebron because they're nearly weaponless without Megatron and Bush. And he wants to know what we think.
Ebron's had a little nose for the end zone lately, and Niles Paul with Jordan Reed coming back this week. That muddies the waters a little bit. If Reed was still out, it'd be Paul for me. But here, I don't know what that situation's going to be. And Ebron, from a receptions and a yardage standpoint, has been a disappointment. But he has found the end zone here a little bit recently. So I think the safer play there is Ebron.
Go ahead, Scott.
It's actually not very close for me. I really, really like Ebron as a streamer this week, and if that's his choice, I would definitely take Ebron. Greenway's still hurt. Barr's a rookie. Harrison Smith is in last I heard he's in a walking boot. So the middle of our defense is going to be wide open, even though they're Calvin Johnson-less and Reggie Bush-less. I think that we're going to have trouble covering Ebron over the middle. I really do like Ebron today.
Yeah, I'd go Ebron too. I'll make it unanimous. And as far as Harrison Smith goes, he is out of the boot and he's questionable for today. But even if he does play, you got to think he's still going to be a little gimpy with that ankle. So, you know, I'm going to make it unanimous with Ebron, no doubt. Okay, let's dip to the old mailbag here. And as soon as I can find it, you know, what'd I do with it? Hey, just give me a second. You pad. Okay, here it is. Sorry, guys. All right, PPR question, and I don't think it's all that tough to me, but, you know, C.J. Spiller, Zach Stacy, or Brandon Oliver?
Oh, Brandon Oliver, easily.
Scott?
Yeah, Brandon Oliver with a Fleeger cannon.
Yeah, I'm right there with you,
boom,
so
man.
There you have it. Okay, we had one in the chat room before we get back to the mailbag here. Foles or Newton?
Ooh. I like Foles there. I don't like that matchup against Cincinnati. Foles, even in a loss, can go out there and throw for 375. Just the volume of plays. I'm going with Foles there.
Scott?
I'm also going with Foles, and Matthew Berry mentioned it pretty. Cam Newton is averaging the same fantasy points per game as E.J. Manuel.
Ooh,
yeah,
that's company you don't want to be in.
Yeah, exactly, who lost his job to a guy who retired and washed cars and came back. So, I'm going to have to go with Foles. Like Rick says, he can lose and still throw 300 yards. So I think we're okay. Let's go to the mailbag here. Where are we at here?
Still can't find that mailbag.
Oh, there it is. There it goes. Eli or Stafford?
Oh, I like Eli so much. Even with Calvin Johnson out, I don't know why. I got a feeling this week that this is the week Stafford becomes the guy that made you draft him in the third round. I don't know what I'm basing it on. Everything's stacked against it. I'm going to go Stafford there. Eli just scares the hell out of me.
Eli does that to a lot of people. There's no question. I like the matchup against Philly. Yeah, Stafford's been very underwhelming as far as I'm concerned, too. Easy there, Scott. You'll be all right. I mean, I'm just looking at fantasy points here, and, you know, Eli, with all his misgivings, he's outscored Matt Stafford. He's got 11 touchdown passes to 5 picks. Stafford's at 6-4. I have to go Eli.
Yeah, I'm going Eli as well. I can understand Fleeger's point, because once the Vikings are up about 45-0, then Detroit's going to have to pass a lot to catch back up. But I think Eli I could score on Philly, I think. So I think that Eli is a safer bet with a better matchup. And like you said, he's been better this year.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Okay, we have another one in the chat room. Cutler or Wilson?
It's Wilson for me. The kid just keeps getting it done. I feel like we never talk about Russell Wilson, and you saw what he did last week. Has the opportunity to do that. Dallas a game. You know, Dallas, I think, a team that can score a little bit. You could see dynamic Russell Wilson. I'm going to go that way. I think the kids in every week start a really, really safe play week in and week out.
Well, okay. I tell you what, I'm looking. They're neck and neck as far as fantasy scorings. I mean, Cutler's going to pass for more. There's no question. He's almost about 1,300 yards. He's got 12 touchdowns. Russell Wilson's so efficient. You know, he's under 1,000 yards. He's gone 850 yards passing, but he's got 8 touchdowns. And he's rushed for over 200 yards himself. So you have those weapons right there. Fantasy-wise, they're not far apart in scoring. But, I don't know, against Atlanta, I think I'm just going to go with Cutler. He has a ton of weapons.
Yeah, I'm with you. I have Cutler, and it's very close because I think that the Dallas D is going to be exposed for what they are soon enough. So I really do like Russell Wilson, and I think he's probably the safer play, but I think Cutler could have a very big day at him today. So I would rather go for that.
You know what I'm worried about? I'm starting to see constipated Jay Cutler again. He's looking all grumpy all the time and uncomfortable. I got a bad vibe from him the last several weeks. So that's where I lean there.
Well, you know, you can see that.
Constipated
Jay
Cutler.
They had that nice start last week, and the offense sputtered a little bit, and he looked a little constipated. But, you know, I can see why he does look that way. That defense is horrid. And, you know, he puts up points. Granted, he didn't have a good second half last week. I understand that. But they put up enough points to win, and this defense can't stop anybody. And, you know, it's enough to drive you crazy. But, you know, I think, you know, he needs to resign himself to the fact that if you're going to put up 28, you know, put up 35 or 40, you know, score some more points. Don't sit there and grump around.
Well, that's where he irritates me. You've got Alshon Jeffrey, you got Brandon Marshall, you got Matt Forte, you got Martellus Bennett, and you got that hot reality TV show wife, and you're sitting around pouting all the time and looking constipated. Maybe I just personally don't like him. I'm going to go with that.
That's fair. Scott, anything?
He already answered it, so why don't you ask the next question?
On Jay Cutler and his constipated look?
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. And I you can tell him if he's crazy or if you agree with it or not. But you know, I think there's a little.
I think I'm kind of with Fleeger. I just don't really like Jay Cutler, but I do think he's in for a good matchup today.
Okay, D-Jax at Arizona or Brian Quick at home versus San Francisco for PPR?
Oh, I can't sit Brian Quick right now, and D-Jax is a feast or famine type of guy, although he's been a little more reliable lately. I can't sit Brian Quick in what I think is going to be a game where the Rams are going to be down. Quick's the number one option there. I'm going to go there, although, you know, bench D-Jax at your own peril, unfortunately.
I'll agree with you. I think D-Jax is getting Patrick Peterson, and I think Quick is, you know, they're going to be at home. San Francisco is not, you know, invulnerable, as we've seen. So and he's been much more consistent. So I like Quick myself.
Yeah, it's going to be unanimous. I can't bench Quick at all right now. And D-Jax, even though he's been good this year, has been historically inconsistent. I don't know if he'll get Josh Peterson. He probably should. But the one nice thing for D-Jax today is that I think old Noodle Arm is going to give Washington plenty of opportunities. I don't trust Palmer to keep that Arizona offense running. So D-Jax might have a lot of shots. But I like whoever said Brian Quick playing from behind. I kind of like that angle on it. So I'll go Quick.
Okay, we're in another PPR question. I need you to pick two. We'll let Scott take this one first. Ben Tate, Stephen Ridley, Stephen Jackson, Bishop Sankey.
I'm going with Ben Tate and Bishop Sankey. From what I've heard is that Sankey is in line for at least 15 touches today. They're going to try to, and really they should. They should be, I think they're getting to a point where the season is almost lost, and they need to not only see what they have in Sankey, but also try to develop him. So I like that. And Cleveland's just a rushing machine. Tate looked awesome last week. I would keep riding Tate until he bucks me.
I agree. I'll take Tate, and I'll take Sankey. And I agree that they need to start developing Sankey, especially with the way the season's going, and what better place to at least start and see what he has is against Jacksonville.
Yeah, I'll make it unanimous. Ben Tate, I love that matchup with the Steelers. Browns are rolling when it comes to running the ball, and the Steelers are terrible against the run right now. Ridley just too inconsistent for me. Steven Jackson's interesting. He's been finding the end zone lately, but you just can't trust him week in and week out. And so if you're ever going to play Bishop Sankey, this is going to be the week to do it. So I'll make it unanimous.
Okay, let's go to the chat room here. We have a standard question. Sankey, Ridley, Forsett.
Sankey, yeah, for all the same reasons, I'm going with Forsett. That Ravens situation makes me nervous. Sankey's going to be the volume play. I'm going to go with it there.
Yeah, I think so. With Sean Green out, I don't think you're going to get the 3 yards in a cloud of suck with him because he is out. I'm going to have to go with Sankey in this one, and Forsett second. Ridley's just too iffy for me. I mean, you could get 120 yards and a touchdown out of him, or you could get 3 carries for 8 yards.
Yeah, my order is the same exact one as Briggs. I think, as I previously stated, Sankey's in for a nice workload today. And Forsett is probably maybe a little safer. You can almost bet on him getting 10 touches and 3 to 4 catches in a PPR. But I think Sankey's got a lot more upside, and I think he's just about his state.
All right, let's move on to the old mailbag here. I need you to pick 2 for wide receiver in a PPR format. Roddy White, Mike Wallace, Anquan Boldin, Golden Tate, or Allen Robinson?
Wow, that's a big list. White, Wallace, go ahead.
Boldin.
Okay.
Golden Tate.
Okay.
Allen Robinson.
Robinson. I need 2 of these.
Right.
So Tate's number 1 on that list for me. And then, then it gets tough there. I'm going to go Anquan Boldin. He's always a safe play. When I don't know what to do, I revert back to Anquan Boldin. So give me Golden Tate and Anquan Boldin.
And for the same reason, I think I'm going Roddy White. And, I just like White a little bit better. You know, Boldin, been a little quiet this year. White, same way. Wallace, to me, is a one-trick pony. There's a lot more risk involved with him. Tate, with Megatron out, probably going to get see a lot more touches. So I'm going Tate, and then I'm going, and it's close with Boldin, I'm going with White.
Man, this guy's getting no help from us. I think that Roddy White is probably the safest. I think I would have trouble benching him. My number one on that list is probably Allen Robinson. I think that they're going to play from behind and have to catch up. I also know that Allen Robinson has had 10 targets 2 out of the last 3 weeks, and he's had at least 5 catches 3 weeks in a row. In a PPR, that's 5 points right there just off of catches. And you got to assume they'll be playing from behind. So give me Robinson 1 and probably White 2. I think Golden Tate might draw Xavier Rhodes for Minnesota. And I kind of wonder if it'll be a bunch of no-names killing the Vikings today.
Yeah, you just never know with that. And, you know, well said about Allen Robinson. The only thing that's getting me about Robinson is Cecil Shorts is probable now. Marquise Lee's, probable with the hamstring. You know, Allen Hurns, probable. You know, I'd think maybe even if they are behind, and playing, guaranteed playing behind, certainly isn't a guarantee where they're playing Tennessee. I don't know. I think that's the only reason I threw Robinson out there. I'm just afraid if Shorts and Lee and Hearns and all these guys come in here, they actually may be able to spread the ball around a little bit. So, I don't know. That's why I went with what I did there.
I will say this about Robinson. He has been the guy in there getting reps and rapport with Bortles. And what's his face was on Sirius Radio, the coach, Rivera, whatever. just glowing about Allen Robinson the other day. So I guess that just makes me like him more. But, yeah, your points are well taken.
Okay, let's go to chat room again. PPR flex question, Bolden or Joik Bell?
Ooh. They're going to have to move the ball a little bit. I like Joik Bell this week. Maybe I'm shoving way too in on the Lions here. I think I've put myself out on a Detroit Lions island here a little bit. But, boy, Joik Bell, Reggie Bush looks like he's definitely out. I'm just going to go Joik Bell for that reason. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, Scott.
Fleeter, have you looked up pictures of Matt Stafford and his girlfriend partying? That is definitely a Detroit Lions island you want to be on.
No, I'm actually looking at Kristen Cavallari picture, Jay Cutler's wife pictures right now, but I'll switch over. So you guys talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, switch over. Right. Matthew Stafford and his girlfriend and some partying. I think Joik Bell is going to crush the Vikings today, just completely kill us. I would not be shocked if he has a 20-plus point fantasy day. We always are bad against pass-catching running backs, so give me Joik.
I'm going to make it unanimous, and for all the same reasons, I think they're going to have a pretty good day against Minnesota. Reggie Bush isn't playing. Anquan Boldin, dependable, but as I mentioned before, Vernon Davis supposed to be back a little bit. You know, it's the dynamics in San Francisco a little weird. So, I'm going Joik Bell myself. And a little report in the chat room, Miller is the start for Miami. Marino probably likely 8 to 10 carries that way. So, you know, going back to the question before, I believe it was on Twitter, you know, about Lamar Miller, Torrey Smith. I'll stand by that Lamar Miller pick there. So.
Excellent call on the Matt Stafford girlfriend, by the way. Giddy up. Although several pictures of her with Ocho Cinco, of all people. So Stafford might want to keep an eye on that if he's smart here. All right, Rick, we got a call on the line before we get out of here. Area code 803. Good morning.
Yes. Hey, how you guys doing?
All right. How's it going?
Excellent. Sorry I wasn't able to listen in. I just got out of the meeting, and I wanted to call you real quick on a couple of questions.
Sure.
I have a PPR league, and I have to start two running backs out of these five that I got. So I got Joik Bell, Ellington, Andre Williams, Hillman, and Doug Martin.
Hillman, Doug Martin. I'll let you go first, Rick.
I tell you what, you say it was PPR, correct?
Yes.
I think that certainly Andre Williams, with Jennings out, he's getting started against Philadelphia. He's certainly my number one. I'm going to have to go with Ellington. As much as I like Joik Bell and the potential with Hillman, I tell you, Ellington has been looking great, and it's hard to go against him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to agree there. I like what Ellington's done in a PPR format. I think Williams is a pretty much a must-start. What do you think, Scott?
I have, on that list, I have Andre Williams 1, Ellington 2 with Bell, very, 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 very close 3, then Martin, and then, so you only need 2.
Okay, great. Now, Sean Marino is available on the wire. Would you drop any one of these running backs for Sean?
I don't think I would. I worry about, obviously, short-term playing with that brace in his elbow, getting the 10 carries. They may try to work him back in. Maybe for Hillman, assuming Monty Ball's going to come back at some point. So if you're looking for a long-term fix, I might go that way. But short-term, I'd stick with where I'm at.
Okay. And I do have a flex spot, but I figured I'd put these receivers in. I have 2 receiver spots. I have Macklin, Demaryius Thomas, Steve Smith Sr., Floyd, and Quick.
Yeah, definitely fill out your roster with those guys. Too bad you can't play any of them at receiver. Or at running back, I mean.
Yeah. And so out of those 5, would you go Macklin, Thomas, and Smith?
Yeah, who are the other 2 again?
Floyd and Quick.
Oh, boy, I tell you what, it is so hard to bench Brian Quick, but out of the ones that you have, I think I probably have to agree with you. You can't bench Demaryius Thomas. Steve Smith has been huge. Yeah, I mean, I think I have to agree with you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you as well. I think you have the right starting lineup in, and, man, that's going to be a nice team for bye weeks because, you're really stacked. That's really nice.
Done on that trap, I must say.
Well, thank you very much. And out of those receivers, would you drop any of those for Noshon?
No.
I'll just keep what I have. Okay.
Yeah,
that's kind of dumb. I actually benched Andre Johnson Thursday. He gave me like 22 points on the bench. But I wasn't sure about his injury situation.
Yeah, that's the thing with fantasy, especially these Thursday games or Monday night games. It's hard to gamble with these. I mean, you can get screwed royally if you go too early or too late. But, unfortunately, Andre came through pretty well. But at least you know he's raring to go from here on out anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I appreciate your help. Oh, I do have one other question really quick, though. It's Foles or who's the Chicago quarterback there? Cutler.
Hey,
Man, Foles has been just hurting me lately. So I didn't know if I should throw Jay Cutler in this week since he's playing Atlanta.
Cutler hasn't hurt anybody really all year with what he's been putting up, even though Chicago tends to lose some games. I don't think he can go wrong with Cutler over Nick Foles.
Yeah.
What do you think, Scott?
I think I would I think I would go with Cutler. It's really tough, though. Neither of those defenses are allowing a whole lot of touchdowns, but I think that Atlanta-Chicago could be a high-scoring game today. So Giants-Philly also could be, but I've already gone in on the color bandwagon a couple times. I really like him today, so I'm going to stick with it.
All right. Well, there you have it. Hey, good luck this week. We appreciate hearing from you.
Well, thank you. Probably hear from you again next week.
Sounds good.
Take care.
Good luck. Thanks.
I like that call. It was like a Morse code.
That was cool.
The sound of that.
Okay, let's get the chat room real quick. I know we're running a little bit over, but let's answer them while we can. Let's see. We have PPR flex option, Mike Wallace, Antonio Gates.
Ooh.
Give me Gates.
Yeah, I think I'll go Gates there.
Scott.
Gates, definitely not close for me.
Okay. Okay, PPR flex. We have Benjamin, Wright, Michael Floyd, Lamar Miller.
Oh, that's a little tougher.
I tell you what, I like Kelvin Benjamin. Obviously, I think he's a must start. I really do. I know he's a rookie, but he's the best receiver Carolina has. I think Kelvin Benjamin's a must start, and I love Kendall Wright against Jacksonville, even though there's a lot of iffiness with this guy.
Yeah, I don't think you can bench Kelvin Benjamin any week right now. I think that you have to have a really stacked team to bench him. I can't imagine benching him for any of those. Wright has been so inconsistent, too. Last week and week one were the only 2 weeks that were decent for him, so definitely
true.
Benjamin.
I'll make it unanimous.
Okay, there you have it.
All right.
I think we are good to go. There we go.
All right, all caught up. Thanks, Scott, for joining us tonight. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
You can find me on Twitter at ScottFish24, and maybe next year I'll come and do the Inside Slant live, and then you can find me in Rick Briggs' basement.
There we go, and that's the place to be right there. You want to be in Rick Briggs' basement. So, Scott, thanks a lot. Let's do it again next week.
All right, talk to you later, guys. Thanks.
See you, Scott.
All right, just blew past time, Rick. Don't even have time to get it all in.
No, that's true. But, thanks, everybody, for calling in. Thanks, everybody, in the chat room. Thanks, everybody, that sent emails. And everybody else that called, whatever I forgot.
Wow. Yeah,
thanks
everybody.
For everybody.
So we will be back on Thursday, 7 o'clock, live on Blog Talk Radio and AsylumFantasySports.com, 7 p.m. Eastern. Check us out there. Also on the Fantasy Sports Network, 9 or 1 p.m. Eastern 9 p.m. Eastern, replayed 4 a.m. on Sunday. That's a whole other episode of the show you're not hearing anywhere else. Check that out, fantasysportsnetwork.com, Cablevision Channel 147, Sasktel,
yes.
Over in Saskatchewan.
Yes.
Down in West Virginia, Maryland, all over the place. You can find it. Check your local
Virginia,
listing.
Virginia, yes.
So until Thursday, Rick, we'll see you.
Take care. Yeah, you try to get by thanking everybody. There's a text coming in for the questions, so I had to get that anyway. But thanks to everybody.
Yeah, we get questions over text. We are a full service show.
Oh, sure.
Cool. We got some tweets out here. Any questions? No. Stafford's girlfriend, that's what I'm talking about. Scott was on the ball on that. Good for Matt Stafford. Why didn't I become a quarterback?
You're not good enough.
I had no appreciable athletic talent, I guess. That chick Jay Cutler's married to looks like your dog. Good night.